ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम्। यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम् परमानन्दमाधवम् श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 3। काइंडली रिपीट। दैट सिचुएशन निशम्य हियरिंग उभयत्र अराउंड बोथ द सन एंड मून अपि इंडीड भगवता बाय द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड रक्षणाय फॉर देयर प्रोटेक्शन प्रयुक्तम एंगेज्ड सुदर्शनम द व्हील ऑफ कृष्ण नाम named Bhagavatam, the most confidential devotee, Daitam, the most favorite, Astram, weapon, Tat, that, Tejasa, by its effulgence, Durvishaham, unbearable heat, Moho, repeatedly, परिवर्तमानम मूविंग अराउंड द सन एंड मून अभ्यवस्थित सिचुएटेड मुहूर्तम फॉर अ मुहूर्त 48 मिनट्स उद्विजमान हूज माइंड वॉज फुल ऑफ एंग्जाइटीज चकित frightened hradaya the core of whose heart arat to a distant place eva certainly nivartate please tat that situation uparagam an eclipse iti thus vadanti they say Loka, the people. Tannishamyo bhayatrapi bhagavata rakshanaya prayuktam sudarshanam nama bhagavatam daitam astram tattejasadurvishaham muhu parivartamanam bhya vasthito muhurtam udvijamanaschakit hridaya aradeva निवर्तते तदुपरागमिति वदन्ति लोका। Translation by Srila Prabhupada. After hearing from the sun and moon demigods about Rahu's attack, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu engages his disc known as Sudarshan Chakra to protect them. The Sudarshan Chakra is the Lord's most beloved devotee and is favored by the Lord. The intense heat of its effulgence, meant for killing non-Vaishnavas, is unbearable to Rahu, and therefore he flees in fear of it. During the time Rahu disturbs the sun or moon, there occurs what people commonly know as an eclipse. Please repeat. After hearing from the sun and moon demigods about Rahu's attack, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, engages his disc known as Sudarshan Chakra to protect them. The Sudarshan Chakra is the Lord's most beloved devotee and is favored by the Lord. The intense heat of its effulgence, meant for killing non-Vaishnavas, is unbearable to Rahu, and he therefore flees in fear of it. During the time Rahu disturbs the sun or moon, there occurs what people commonly know as an eclipse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always the protector of his devotees, who are also known as demigods. The controlling demigods are most obedient to Lord Vishnu, although they also want material sense enjoyment. And that is why they are called demigods, or almost godly. Although Rahu attempts to attack both the sun and moon, they are protected by Lord Vishnu. Being very afraid of Lord Vishnu's chakra, Rahu cannot stay in front of the sun or moon for more than a muhurta, 48 minutes. The phenomenon that occurs when Rahu blocks the light of the sun or moon is called as an eclipse. The attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to the moon is as demoniac as Rahu's attack. Of course, their attempts will be failures because no one can enter the moon or sun so easily. Like the attack of Rahu, such attempts will certainly be failures. So the Prabhupada ki jai. Starting from 16th chapter, the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami has been related to the cosmology of the universe. With relation to cosmology of the universe, Parikshit Maharaj requested Shukadev Goswami to describe the entire Bhumandal. And Shukadev Goswami described the entire Bhumandal to him, along with all the dimensions. After describing the Bhumandal, he is describing those planets which are below the sun. And the first description he gives is that 10,000 yojanas below the sun is the planet Rahu. The question is, why would Rahu choose to attack sun and the moon only? There are many other planets. Why would Rahu choose to attack sun and the moon only? Acharyas previously have commented that when during the Mohini Murti incarnation, when the nectar was being distributed between the demigods and demons, it was a farce, obviously, because the demigods were supposed to get all the nectar, whereas the demons were supposed to be cheated of it. So one demigod, one demon known as Rahu, he sat amongst the demigods. This was noted by the sun and the moon, and they reported it. Since they reported it, the acharyas say that Rahu is always inimical to sun and the moon, no other planet. Yesterday, before approaching this subject, I was reading this one very nice book. It is called as Bhugol Darshan. Bhugol Darshan is a book written by an acharya in Madhvacharya's parampara. His name is Vadiraj Tirth. And he has given the entire description of the universe in one small book. And everything he has taken from Srimad Bhagavatam. So only the cosmology of the universe has been described in one book. His book is called Bhugol Darshanam. Very nice book. And he has explained the structure of the universe so well in that book that anybody who has doubts regarding anything about the universe that is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, I would definitely recommend that they should try to procure a copy of this book. Because it's a very nice book and it describes the cosmology according to Srimad Bhagavatam very well. We are at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam's fifth canto, almost at the end. After this there will be two chapters and last chapter will be describing hellish planets. Seeing the descriptions of hellish planets, certain personalities or certain people think that hellish planets, the descriptions must not be true. They cannot be true. In fact, during the 19th century and in most part of the 20th century, especially in India, there was this wave of intellectuals who, although they were born in India, they were trained according to the Western system of education. And they were thinking that whatever is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially with relation to the health, is false. It can't be true. And in one of the essays which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, he wrote an essay called The Bhagavat. In that essay he said that actually the hells given in Srimad Bhagavatam are allegorical. They are allegorical. They don't exist in reality. If we go today and we study this essay, it's called The Bhagavat, Its Ethics, Theology and Epistemology. This essay is available. In this essay he says very clearly that the hells described in Srimad Bhagavatam are allegorical. They don't exist in reality. When I read this statement, I was a bit confused because I had read in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, where Kapil Muni says, Atraiva narakah swarga iti matah prachakshate ya yatana vai narakyas ta ihapyupalakshita. My dear mother, don't disbelieve that hell can exist because hellish conditions are sometimes seen on earth itself. One can see hellish conditions on earth itself. So please don't disbelieve that hell exists. It was difficult for me to reconcile because on one side, one of our acharyas in a very popular essay is saying that the hells are allegorical. And in another place, Kapil Muni in the Bhagavatam itself is saying that they can't be allegorical, they are real. Because hellish conditions are sometimes seen on this planet itself. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there, these hellish conditions include conditions like war, or when a king severely punishes some criminal, he has to go a similar torture that they undergo in hell. So, it is very clear that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in order to preach to the so-called Western educated intellectual class of Indians, he preached in a certain way by saying that this is allegorical. In fact, there is one entire book, it is called as Krishna Samhita. This is commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the commentary which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the entire commentary, many allegories are drawn. He compares the various demons in Krishna Leela to the various anarthas within our heart. For example, he says that Putana is the false guru. He says that Dhenukarasura is the devotee who can't understand the essence of spiritual life. But he is a very thick-headed person. He understands only rules and regulations. He can't understand the essence of spiritual life. It's a very nice way of introducing new people to Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's my conclusion. It's very nice way of introducing new people to Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not allegorical truth. Srimad Bhagavatam is factual truth. Whatever is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is factual truth. Of course, there are allegories in some places in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like in the chapter of Puranjan. This is called as Parokshvad. Parokshvad means indirect reference. But for the remaining part of Bhagavatam, it is literally true. It is not to be taken as allegorical truth. It is literally true. Now, it's not that accusations on Bhagavatam is not something new. There are many who have tried to discredit the Bhagavatam by putting various accusations. Some say, how many verses does Srimad Bhagavatam contain? 18,000. You count the shlokas, it is 14,000 only. Whereas there is another Bhagavatam called as Devi Bhagavat, which has 18,000 shlokas. So which Bhagavatam should be considered as Srimad Bhagavatam? Should the Krishna Bhagavat be considered as Srimad, or should the Devi Bhagavat be? Because our Bhagavat is Krishna Bhagavat, it's not the Devi Bhagavat. But you count the number of shlokas in all the chapters, it's 14,000 something. There's so many allegations to discredit Srimad Bhagavatam. Some people say Srimad Bhagavatam was not written by Vyasadeva. It was written by one Vaishnav born in Maharashtra. His name was Vopdev. There was a Vaishnav born in Maharashtra in the 12th or 13th century. His name is Vopadev. And he wrote a grammar book called as Mugdha Bodh Vyakaran, which is a Sanskrit grammar book containing Lord Krishna's names, just like Harinamamrit Vyakaran. And some people say he also wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So many allegations were already floating around Srimad Bhagavatam in the 16th century itself. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan put down his pen and wrote one book. This book is called Siddhant Darpana. And in this book, he has clarified certain things about Srimad Bhagavatam. I am going to read certain allegations, because especially in the fifth canto, there is a tendency of many to doubt the authenticity of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I am going to speak from Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's book. It is called Siddhant Darpan. I am going to speak the allegations and what Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan replies. First allegation. All the Vedas, they are known as apaurusheya. Purush means human being. Apaurusheya means it is not composed by any human being. Purush means human being, and apaurusheya means the Vedas are not composed by any human being. You won't find any author in the Vedas. You won't find so and so uvacha, like this. You won't find. But in the Puranas you find. How can the Puranas be apaurusheya? Agreed, Vedas might be apaurusheya. They might not be composed by any mortal being. But how can the Puranas be apaurusheya? Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan replies, in the Shvetashvatara Upanishads and other Upanishads, it is given that from the breathing of Lord Vishnu came the Rig Ved, Sam Ved, Yajur Ved, Athar Ved, Itihasas and Puranas. Now, Shvetashvatara is an Upanishad. It is part of the Vedas. So when the Vedas say that Puranas have come from the breathing of the Lord, all right. Second allegation. If the Puranas have come from the breathing of the Lord, the Vedas are called Rig Ved, Sam Ved, Yajur Ved, Athar Ved. But the Puranas are having names of the mortals, like Markandeya Purana. It denotes the composer of this particular Purana is Rishi Markandeya. So if the composer of the Puranas is a mortal, how can the Puranas be a apaurusheya? Other Puranas, okay, Vishnu Puran, Kurma Puran, Matsya Puran, these are all names which are immortal, apaurusheya. But there are certain names of Puranas, like Markandeya Puran. Now Markandeya Rishi is not apaurusheya. He is a jiva. So they will say this proves that Puranas are paurusheya. They are written by some human authority and not written by immortal authorities. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan replies, oh, in the Vedas also there are many samhitas. Katak Samhita, Maitrayani Samhita, and does it mean that Maitrayana and Katak have written these samhitas? No, they have simply received these samhitas from disciplic succession. Oh, so in the similar way, just because the Puran is named Markandeya Puran doesn't mean that the Puran is actually composed by Markandeya. It is simply received in disciplic succession by him. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan also quotes another verse. This time from the Skanda Puran, he says, Ashtadasha Puranani Kritva Satyavati Sutaha Chakre Bharatam Akhyanam Vedarthai Rupa Brahmatam. These 18 Puranas were composed by Vyasadev, and he also composed Mahabharat as a supplement to the Vedas. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan gives a comparing logic. He says, if the Vedas are compared to a golden armlet, and on every armlet there is a pin which closes it, or there is some extra material which closes. If the entire armlet is golden, will the remaining part be made out of tin? Does it look good? The Vedas are complete, very nice, golden in color, and the Puranas are the supplement. But you are saying that the Vedas are like a golden ornament which is supplemented by a tin instrument. Therefore he says that those who doubt the Vedas, nastiko, durdiyan, they are atheists, especially you doubt the Puranas, or the Kukkutivat, they only accept the Vedas, they don't accept the Puranas. Oh, Puranas are recent creations. There's one very famous university scholar. He has written one book called as Studies in the Puranas and Upapuranas. And for Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that there have been many changes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but they have been so expertly done that we can't find out who made those changes. He studies in the Upapuranas. His name is Mr. Hazra. Okay, it's a PhD study done by him. All the Puranas he criticizes. When he comes to Bhagavatam, he says, I am very sure that there must be some changes in the Bhagavatam, but they are so expertly done, at this point I can't figure out how they were made. And therefore in the 12th canto he says, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is Amal Puran, there is no distortion. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Therefore, the truth-seeking Vaishnavas, they are very dear, Srimad Bhagavatam, to them. They will say, all right, we accept. Puranas are also a part of Vedic literature. But we still have some problem against Srimad Bhagavatam. How many Puranas do you say exist? 18. Oh, but in your Srimad Bhagavatam itself, it is given that after Vyasdev wrote all the Puranas and Mahabharat, then Narad Muni came and said to him, ki, you composed Bhagavatam. Then Bhagavatam must be the 19th Puran. It will not be included in the 18 Puranas. Am I correct? Actually, it is Devi Bhagavatam which is within 18 Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is not within the 18. Why? Because it was composed after all the Puranas and Mahabharat was composed. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, okay, you want to consider Devi Bhagavat as the default Bhagavat Puran? Why don't we look in the other Puranas and see the characteristics of Bhagavatam described there? And then he quotes from the other Puranas about the characteristics that they describe about Srimad Bhagavatam. The other Puranas, especially Matsya Puran, and this is available today. This quotation is available today in all the editions of Matsya Puran that I have seen. Yatradikritya Gayatrim Varnyate Dharma Vistaraha Vritasura Vadopetam Tad Bhagavatam Ishyate. Which begins with the Gayatri, in which all types of religions have been described in detail, in which is the episode of the killing of Vritasur, that is Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam is not Devi Bhagavatam, because in Devi Bhagavatam doesn't begin with Gayatri. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Gayatri. Satyam Param Dhimahi. This Dhimahi is Gayatri. The episode of killing of Ritasur is also in Srimad Bhagavatam and not in Devi Bhagavatam. He also quotes another verse. Ambarisha Shuka Proktam Nityam Bhagavatam Shrunu. Gautam Rishi is advising Ambarish. Oh Ambarish, that Bhagavatam which is spoken by Shukadev, that you should listen. And there is only one Bhagavatam which is spoken by Shukadev. That is our Srimad Bhagavatam. All right. But the doubt is not yet solved. What about the incident that it was written after the 18 Puranas were written? It's not yet solved. Maybe that was another Bhagavatam and this is another Bhagavatam which Vyasadeva wrote. This is another, that was another. So, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam itself. This verse is from 12.13.10. He says, Idam Bhagavata Purvam Brahmanena Abhipankaje Sitaya Bhava Bhitaya Karunyat Samprakashitam. This very Bhagavatam, earlier, Lord Krishna spoke unto Brahma, who was very afraid because there was darkness everywhere. So then what was the Bhagavatam which Vyasadev wrote? The same Bhagavatam, he quotes, Sa samhihatam bhagavatim kritva nukramya chatmajam shukam adhyapayama sa nivritti niratamuni. That same Bhagavat, Vyasadev just elaborated upon little bit and explained to his son. Nothing else. This Bhagavatam was present even before Vyasadev wrote it. Vyasadeva expanded upon it, elaborated upon it. All right. We have heard another thing. This Bhagavatam was composed by one person called Vopdev, Maharashtrian Brahmin, Vaishnav. He is the one who is credited to have written this Srimad Bhagavatam. 13th century. Sridhar Swami wrote the commentary in 14th century. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, I will give you one commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we all go to Vrindavan, this commentary on Bhagavatam is available. It is called as Bhagavat Churanika. You can find it in the traditional bookshops. This commentary is by Chit Sukhacharya. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, this commentary is by Chit Sukhacharya, who was living almost 300 years before Vopdev. How can the commentary come before the original text? If Vopdev was born in 13th century, and Chit Sukhacharya was born in 9th century, how can a commentary on a text come before the original text itself? Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan also says, not only that, Madhvacharya has said in his commentary on Bhagavatam, that even before Chitsukacharya, there was another commentary by Hanumat Acharya, and Hanumat Acharya is also quoted by Jiva Goswami. He is none other than Hanuman. Okay, Hanuman, who is the servant of Lord Ram. But this commentary is not to be found nowadays. So the only commentary which explains Srimad Bhagavatam in complete detail, the first commentary which we know, which explains Srimad Bhagavatam in complete detail, is Sridhar Swami's commentary. But Sridhar Swami's commentary is not the first one. Before that there were many commentaries. But since they are lost, Sridhar Swami again compiled a commentary. All right. When we count the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, only 14,000. Whereas in all the literatures they are saying very gloriously that Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000. Either it is some other Bhagavatam or some verses from this Bhagavatam are missing. No problem. Srimad Bhagavatam is not simply prose. It is also poetry. The exact statement is that Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 shlokas. What is the definition of a shloka? Shloka means that which is containing 32 syllables, in most of the verses that we recite, we see this meter called as shloka. It is also called as anushtup. Just like we sing, dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samavetayu yutsava mamakah pandavas chaiva kimakurvata sanjaya. These four lines and number of syllables is 32. That is called as a shloka. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not all shlokas. In fact, the first verse itself is not in the form of a shloka. It is another meter. Shloka is a specific meter which means 32 syllables. If all the syllables of Srimad Bhagavatam are added and divided by 32, the number comes to 17,889. Because I am counting, therefore I am saying, I am actually in a process of counting. Because there is one commentary by one Bengal born commentator, his name is Ganganath Sahai. He said, I counted all the syllables three times and I have found 18,000. So 17,889 plus, if you add Sri Shuka Uvacha, Parikshit Uvacha, add all the syllables and divide by 32. I am pretty sure that you will get 18,000. At least I am trying to get 18,000. So in this way there are many allegations which have been there on Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are there to destroy our faith. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature, if it is analyzed from any point of view, there will be no doubt that Srimad Bhagavatam is at par with the four Vedas. Those who can't understand the Vedas in Kali Yuga, for them mercifully Vyasadeva has given Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Kali Yuga there is no possibility of understanding Vedas. Jiva Goswami has said clearly in Tattva Sandarbha, no possibility of understanding Vedas in Kali Yuga. Why? First, because nobody has all the required qualifications. The required qualifications is that they should know all the limbs of the Vedas, six limbs: Jyotish, Vyakaran, Chand, Kalp. But nobody knows completely. On top of that, even if somebody knows the Vedas, they don't know how to recite it properly. One who can't recite the Vedas properly, they say that he will end up just like the incident which happened with Vritasura. Vedic mantra was uttered, but one syllable which was supposed to be spoken on a higher pitch was spoken in a lower pitch. And this is what caused the difference in the meaning. And this led to Indra killing Vritasura rather than Vritasura killing Indra. If one syllable can make this difference, what should we say about those who don't know anything about reciting Vedic meters? On top of that, not even all the branches of Vedas are available. In the Mahabhashya, Patanjali says Rig Veda has 1,000 branches, out of which today how many are available are 21. That too, all 21 are not completely available. Not all 21 have commentaries written on them. Therefore, Jiva Goswami conclusively says, for Kali Yuga, the hope is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's firm opinion about Srimad Bhagavatam was expressed. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradara Napara. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas. The worshipable Lord is the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. Taddhama Vrindavanam. And the worshipable abode is Vrindavan. Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Kalpita. And whatever worship was done by Vrajavadus or Gopis, that is the best worship. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam. And the proof for all of this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Prema Pumartho Mahan. And Prem is the topmost goal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam. This is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tatradara Napara. And we don't consider anything above this. So the more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we carefully analyze it, especially the difficult portions, because difficult portions come in the fifth canto. And I could have done an entire explanation of the structure of the universe, but it will require many hours. It is not a matter of 1 hour or 1.5 hours. But it requires diagrams. Srimad Bhagavatam has not seen the universe in two dimensions. It has looked at the universe from many dimensions. In which shloka it is changing dimensions, we don't even come to know. In which shloka it is zooming in, and which shloka it is zooming out, we don't come to know. But fortunately, acharyas have written. The great difficulty, I procured one book by Sri Vadiraj Tirth, who is Madhvacharya's, in Madhvacharya Sampradaya. He has written in detail. He has given those calculations. He has conclusively proved that whatever is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the measurements are not incorrect even by a mustard seed. But that requires explanation. It is a lot of explanation. And some knowledge of how distance is measured in traditional India. So, definitely we should all make an attempt to study Srimad Bhagavatam from various points of view. And wherever we have doubts, we should try to search more. Srimad Bhagavatam is our research subject. Srila Prabhupada said that Srimad Bhagavatam is my life project. Every day I will come and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is my life project. So Srimad Bhagavatam should be our life project. We should study from different angles. Whatever is required to study Srimad Bhagavatam, we should acquire that knowledge. Without, in Bhagavad Gita it is said, without spiritual knowledge, there is no question of spiritual peace. And without peace, there is no question of happiness. And without happiness, there is no question of spiritual advancement. Ashantasya kuto sukham. If somebody is disturbed, how can they be happy? If they are unhappy, how can they make progress in spiritual life? That's not possible. But one becomes happy when one is peaceful. But one becomes peaceful when all his doubts are destroyed. But doubts are destroyed when one is equipped with the sword of knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam says itself, Yad anudhyasina yukta karma bandi nibandhanam chindanti kovidastatra kona kuryat katharatim. Intelligent people, with the sword of knowledge and with the sword of meditation on the Lord's feet, they cut all attachments, they cut all doubts. Therefore, who is that intelligent person who will not try to put faith and study nicely Srimad Bhagavatam? Ko na kuryat katharatim. It is therefore that Srimad Bhagavatam should be read daily, and not only a formal reading like a news reader reads, but reading verse by verse, word by word, and syllable by syllable is how Srimad Bhagavatam should be read, because it should be made our life project. Alright, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Yes, please. Just a moment.
The Vedas, they are called mantra and not shloka. How come so?
Because as I have said, shloka means specific meter of 32 syllables. Whereas in the Vedas, they should not also exactly be called mantras. In the Rig Veda, the mantras are called Rigs. In the Sam Veda, the mantras are called Sam. Like this.
Rucha is also called.
That is, the transformation of Rig is Richa. Okay, Rig transforms into Rich, and female of Rich is Richa. That is.
And in the Markandeya Purana, first chapter it is said that Durga has created Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh,
yes,
and all they three are constantly worshipping Durga. So that is very contradictory to what supremacy of Lord Krishna.
Yes, this is the reason why, the reason for this is because Vyasadeva had attempted to preach to different kinds of people, and in his attempt to preach to different kinds of people, different versions of the creation were written. This is another reason why when Narad Muni came, Srila Prabhupada says he more or less chastised his disciple, saying, what have you done? You have misled people on that path from which it will be very difficult for them to come back. And therefore, you should write one literature which describes truth. Dhamna svena sadanirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi satyam param. Let everyone meditate on that, which is absolute truth. But that version is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to repeatedly emphasize, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. It is that which is giving the truth in the most absolute form. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Therefore, it is dear to the Vaishnavas.
If Veda has no such practical use in Kali Yuga, why it was compiled, so much labor by Vyasadeva?
It's not that Veda has no practical use in Kali Yuga. Veda was not, it was compiled, but even before Vyasadeva compiled it, he got the name Vyas because Vyas means division. So Veda was one, but when they found difficult to maintain it, they divided it in four. And these four were given to four disciples. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Paila Rishi got Rig Veda, Jaimini got Sam Veda, Angiras got Athar Veda, and so on and so forth. But because it was very difficult to maintain one Veda in Kali Yuga, they divided it into four. And these four were given in different disciplic successions. And Vyasadeva knew that, it is quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhu Nam Trayi Na Shruti Gochara Karma Shreyasi Mudanam. So this is given that those who are in Kali, born in Kali Yuga, they are all falling in this category. Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhu. Shudras and ladies and Brahmanas also, they are Dvija Bandhu. They can't understand. Trai na Shruti Gochara. Shruti Gochar nahi hai unko. They can't understand. So that there will be benefit for them, he composed Srimad Bhagavatam. Doesn't mean that Vedas have no practical use. There may be very rare personalities who understand Vedas. But to make them effective, to show any results, immediate results out of it, I don't think anybody has the required capacity. There are many Ved Pathshalas running in India. I have seen from my childhood. But it's not, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best.
And the person who is called Rishi, he must have contributed some mantra in Veda, then only he is called Rishi, otherwise he is called Yogi.
Yes.
So those Rishi, there are many lists, seven Saptarishi, they have contributed. So it is Paurushe, not Apurushe.
But the Rishis have not gotten the verses from their, it's not poetic creation. It's not that they composed it. Mantra means they have received it through the agency of their heart and their mind. And Veda is eternal. It was first came out with the breathing of Lord Narayan. When the universe has come out with the breathing of the Vedas, come out with the universe. But they are revealed to different personalities. And these personalities then write down this.
And they put their name.
Yeah, it's very nice to give credit. We should not be anonymous who wrote what. Whenever, even today we are publishing a book, who is the publisher, who is the author, we would not like to read any book whose author or publisher we don't know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your wonderful lecture, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, what is the difference between planet and Rahu demon?
See, Rahu, the demon is a personality. But when Rahu, the demon, casts his shadow, that is called as the planet. Okay? It's the opinion of Surya Siddhanta. Rahu personally does not eat up the sun or the moon, but he casts a shadow on the sun or the moon so that the rays of the light are obstructed. This is given in Surya Siddhanta and all astronomical books. So that's the difference. The demon is there, but he can't personally devour the sun or the moon, because nobody has the capacity. If Lord Hanuman doesn't have the capacity to devour the sun, I don't think Rahu has the capacity to devour the sun. Okay, but he casts a shadow on it. So that shadow is a pseudo planet, and therefore we call it Rahu, which has some. It has existence as well as it doesn't have existence. Just like a shadow has existence, but simultaneously doesn't have existence. So in the same way, Rahu has existence as a demon. As a shadow, it's the planet is a shadow, that's it, which covers the sun and the moon. Alright, so we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki itai gaur premanande vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhibhyo vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.